everyone. This is Bev Marshall here, and I've had the honor and privilege of being married to Drew Marshall for almost 20 years. 12 of the best years of my life. Have you ever noticed just how sensitive of a man he is?
I was crying with him when he was crying because...
Hey, hold on. We were crying. We're men here.
He may not know how to fix stuff around the house, but at least he knows women's fashion.
Is it the way women are dressing? I mean, I know I'm going to be labeled sexist by even suggesting this. We can wear whatever we want. Well, I got to tell you, there's a lot of skimpy-looking stuff out there.
I know he thinks he's Dr. Phil and genuinely seems like he understands us women.
Women seem to be driven more by emotions than men do, and men tend to be a little bit more analytical. And I'm not a sexist jerk, so don't write me emails saying I hate women or something like that.
Don't worry, ladies. I've trained him well.
Driving, turning your radio down, and talking on the phone. You must be a woman, because a guy couldn't do all that.
So if you're looking for sound professional guidance, well, there's always the guests he interviews. Tune in Saturdays between 1 and 5 for The Drew Marshall Show, right here on Joy 1250.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.
Well, she's back. Kathy Lee Gifford is back every weekday on the Today Show, and she's back with a new book called Just When I Thought I Dropped My Last Egg. A very smart, very funny, and heartfelt collection of opinions, observations, anecdotes, and let me tell you, folks, no subject is off limits. And she's also back for her fourth visit on The Drew Marshall Show. I want you to put your hands together for the one and only Kathy Lee Gifford.
Is it only four times?
Well, might be five.
Okay.
Does it feel like more?
Many more.
Oh, man. How is my favorite Russian, Jewish, German, French, Canadian, Indian?
Well, that's the only reason why I'm your favorite, because there's so few of us. I'm good. How are you?
It's been so long. I miss you.
Oh, please. You stay at my house all the time.
Stop it.
How can you miss me?
Stop it. How was your week?
My week was rough.
Really?
Rough.
Huh.
Times are tough in America. I don't know about Canada.
Right. Well, our banks are the best banks in the world. I mean, we fared fairly well in this economic disaster.
Then I may be moving north, baby.
Okay.
How are you doing, Drew? I haven't talked to you in a while.
I'm doing great. I had a tough week, too. I have a bad disc in my neck, went right out, a herniated disc, that kind of a thing.
But you got to stop the kinky sex. Honestly.
Stop it.
Honestly, that's the reason why. Stop it.
And because my neck was out, I tried to watch you all week, right? Seriously. I tuned
that's
in.
That's the only reason why you would.
I tuned in every day to watch this new show that you're on. What's it called again? I don't know. I can't remember.
The Today Show.
That's it. That's right.
Yeah.
But this NBC affiliate that I've got kept coming down with swine flu preemptions.
You have it also in Canada?
Apparently, yes.
How many cases?
Not as many. 54, maybe. Yeah. But anyway.
Not quite the pandemic yet, but.
No. Who knows? Last time I saw you was when I took my daughter down to New York City for her 16th birthday back in November.
Yeah. And you came to the Today Show. I just started there, I think.
Yes. And you had these shoes that didn't fit you. You almost wiped out on the stairs.
That could be any day. No, because nobody warns you, but your feet start to morph, too.
Right.
You could be wearing a size 6 one day and size 7.5 the next, depending on how bloated you are. It depends.
Yeah, speaking of depends. No, I had a great time when I was down there. Tony Danza was on the show. I can't believe how short he was, or is. Great guy, really
and
neat.
And he's an inch and a half shorter since then, because, you know, that's what happens.
Right.
Yeah, a year goes by. Frank was 6'2 when we met. He's like 5'4 now, I think.
Yeah. Speaking of Frank, Christine gave me a tour of the NBC building, went over to your office there, and I noticed there was a little piece of paper with Frank's name on it, shoved in your name plaque in the front of your door of your office.
Kidding.
Yeah, he put his name in there.
I don't know anything about that.
It was pretty funny.
The man's desperate. He used to be so big.
He used to be all that, and now
he used
it's you.
To be everything.
I'm very crushed, actually. Why were you not in People's Magazine's Most Beautiful People for 2009?
Hello. For about the 44th year straight. I don't know if these people have no taste is all I can think of. But you know what? Here's the truth.
Yeah.
It's whoever has the best press agent that year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're blaming that on who?
Well, it can't be because I'm getting uglier every year. It must be because somebody has a better press agent
okay.
than I do.
Well, Natalie Morales, can I just say for a second?
No, Natalie Morales is one of those people that actually deserves to be there because she is so drop-dead beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
No.
When I saw her, Christine and I were walking through the building, and she walked past us and said hello, and I said to Christine, that's basically what I said.
Tell people who Christine is. They don't know, Drew.
Oh, sorry. Christine is your friend, your assistant.
My best friend in the whole world,
yeah.
Who's been with me now for over 20 years, who if I didn't have her, I sure wouldn't be talking to you.
Well... Yeah, you might want to get rid of her then. She has one of the best senses of humors.
Unbelievable.
Senses of humors. Sense
Brilliant.
Of humor. Yes. She's
yes.
funny.
She's my daughter's godmother. She's been there when both my children were born, and she now takes care of me and Frank because we're both drooling now.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Well, speaking of drooling, Natalie Morales. Boy.
Yes. Isn't she gorgeous?
Well, she reminds me of my first true love.
Really?
Yeah. Just thought I'd get that out there. So
this is so spiritual in nature so far, this talk.
Yes, we're getting real spiritual.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of first real loves, though, Hoda.
Oh, Hoda.
Hoda, woman, when the wind comes whipping down the plane.
I love Hoda. She's awesome.
Has she found love?
Not yet, but she's got a date tonight.
Oh, really?
So I'm waiting.
Oh.
Yeah. Every I told her recently, I said, Hoda, you really can't fall in love, honey, because it's going to ruin our whole shtick.
Yeah.
So you can't be happier. It's going to, like, you know, you got to take one for the team.
Mm.
But the truth is that I'm hoping for her because I really don't know a greater lady. She's fabulous.
Well, with
she and Christine, but that's another story.
Yeah, I mean,
why are there so many amazing, available women? And so few great men, Drew, I'd really like an answer to that.
I've asked that. I asked that on my show about 2 months ago. I said it seems like all the good men are either married or missionaries. See how I changed that?
You threw me there. And what did the people say? What were the answers?
I don't know. When I do a show and it's done, it's gone. It's like an exam. It's out of there, right? So I can't remember.
Yeah, it's like a colonoscopy.
It is.
It's over.
Oh, my goodness. Now, look, speaking of Christine, do you know if former New York Ranger Ron Duguay is married?
Oh, my gosh. Did you see that show?
Well, let me just say.
Ron Duguay. Yes, go ahead.
Because, I'm thinking of Christine here. Thank you very much.
Christine is insane about Ron Duguay. Has been since she was like 7 years old. I don't know about Ron Duguay. I barely follow any sport. All of a sudden, he's on our show yesterday. Oh, my gosh. We practically had a child on television. The man is so sexy, so adorable. And he is married to my friend, Kim Alexis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, she used to be my friend.
Yeah.
After yesterday, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
You look like you have so much fun doing that show. How often have you had to fake loving the food that you eat during the cooking segment, though?
I never fake the food.
No?
Or the guests. I just don't. Life's too short. Why fake it?
So if it's nasty, you'll say it?
If something's nasty, I spit it out. And if somebody's just adorable like Ron Duguay yesterday, I can't remember who he's married. She's married. I don't get it. I don't remember. You know what? That's sort of what comes with age.
Hmm.
It's so great. Drew, honestly, it's like, I'm too old to care.
Yeah.
You know, I've never faked it before. Why am I going to start now?
Good for you. Good for you. Well, it looks like you're having a ton of fun with the outfits and the food and the drinks and the drinks and the food and the drinks.
None of that's real.
Come on.
None of that's real. The producers sort of think it's time for happy hour after 3 hours of bad news on the Today Show. They think it's time to make it like a whoopee cushion.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of that's just for fun. But, you know, I personally don't start drinking until 11:45.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand.
The rest is faking.
Do you realize that you and I are celebrating our 5th anniversary, Kathy Lee? It was Mother's Day 2004 that you and I first spoke.
Has it been good for you?
It's been amazing. You're still my number one. No one will replace you on my homepage of
that
all
so
those celebrities.
Sad.
You
that
are
so
you
sad.
You are there. You are there.
Surely you've met great people since then.
I have, but stop calling me Shirley. And well, the funny thing about that first interview was, do you remember? I don't know if you remember this, but I played this clip when I interviewed Frank a few months ago. By the way, I had a great time with Frank. That was such a good interview.
And you were afraid of him.
I was. I was. I was terrified.
Christine made you crazy.
Yes.
She said, "Don't mock him. Don't pretend anything, or he will see right through you.
And the first time you and I chatted, Frank walked in at the end, just as you were praying. You were on your knees crying and praying, and Frank walks in, and you go, oh, here, talk to Frank. Frank comes on and goes, what are you doing with my woman?
That's right.
Scared me to death.
He would do the same today, actually.
Good.
Here's the sad part, Drew. He doesn't remember talking to you.
Oh.
He really doesn't.
That's, man, I'm crushed. I'm so crushed. All right, we got to talk about the kids. Cody, 6'4". Cody, are you kidding me?
He is. He's 6'4". He's 19. Cass is almost 16, and she's off at some lacrosse thing. I don't know.
She's an athlete as well?
She's a really, really good little athlete, but not in lacrosse. So she's not loving it. You know, finding out what you are in life is finding out what you aren't.
Right.
I really do believe that. Half your life you spend thinking you're something and finding out you're not. Mm. And then coming to grips with the fact of what you are. And my kids are, how old are yours now? They're
20 and 16.
All right, so they're not off.
No.
Yeah, we got 19 and 16, 20 and 16, same thing.
Yeah.
And what blows my mind is how they can come from the same two people and be so completely different.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah.
Apple Kennedy says that, too, and she had like 80. You know, they're all different. So how could snowflakes be so different? Mm. And yet two children or 20 children from the same two parents are so unique. I love that. Mm. It really shows God's incredible creativity and his different will for our lives. It's actually miraculous.
Well, you have a stunning family shot of you on the cover of this latest book, and Cassidy.
Oh, airbrush out the way.
No, no.
Oh, airbrush.
Come on.
I'm only talking about me. No, Cody. He was going through a tough time in his life. So the second printing, please God, if there is one, there'll be a different picture of Cody on there. They like erased his face. They know it, and they're going to make it right the next time around. Poor
well,
kid.
Let me just tell you that your daughter is probably one of the prettiest girls I've ever seen in my life. And I've worked with teenagers for a lot of years in the camping industry and in ministry. And, man, that is one sharp kid.
She is actually the most naturally beautiful person. Forgive me, Natalie, but she's in Natalie's realm, you know. Just drop dead. Naturally beautiful. Yeah, she really is. And she doesn't know it, which makes her more beautiful.
That's
it's
good.
The people who are and don't act it that are truly the most beautiful on this earth. You're not one of them, Drew, and either am I. But we know them when we meet them, don't you think?
I just said to someone, where was I? Oh, last night I was at the pub, and I said, do you think that parents of ugly children know their children are ugly?
And what was the answer?
Well, I just got asked to leave. Yeah. But you...
No person is ugly.
I
there
know.
There are people who are physically just so beautiful, you just can't... You lose words. You're just looking at them.
But their insides are ugly. Yeah, I know. I know.
I mean, Mother Teresa, let's face it, was not physically gorgeous by the world standards, but was there a more beautiful person ever?
I have a calendar at home, and she's Miss July. Now you, my dear, you look amazing. You look marvelous, especially those feet. Kudos to the Zimbabwean surgeon. Well done.
God bless him, Dr. Klain. Yeah, but you're going to be the first to know, Drew. You know the truth?
What's that?
I'm growing a new bunion on my right foot.
Oh.
I know, it's only been like a year and 3 months.
Is there a warranty on the Zimbabwean
guy? There's no warranty. How can a freaking bunion grow so fast? I'm getting a new one on my right foot.
Your feet wouldn't have won honorable mention in the most beautiful pig competition at the county fair.
Just like my mother.
Just like your mother's
it's
feet.
It's just, you know, some things you have no control over in life. But I am using a new thing called Rapid Lash on my eyelashes and my eyebrows.
Hmm.
And I'm almost like up there with Brooke Shields now with the eyebrows. I'm going to have a unibrow within a week.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I'm looking forward to that.
I know.
You
I'll
and Shrek?
The first picture.
Speaking of Shrek, how's Regis?
He's good. Oh, the dog died, but the man's still alive.
Yes, that's right. Oh, hold on. Your Regis died?
Our Regis died.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, that was sad about a year ago. Our dog, Regis, he's 14 and a half years old. But Regis, the man I had dinner with 2 weeks ago, he's doing Password. He's doing, you know, Millionaire Again. This man is amazing.
He's a machine.
He's a machine.
He's a machine,
yes,
as he would
is.
Say. Have you had any calls from people you've maybe offended either directly or indirectly in this book of yours?
Only you. No, no, not yet. Nobody's actually, the ones I thought I would have most offended are like so thrilled to be in the book, you know, like my friend Chris Kardashian. Did you read the one about the Kardashians?
No, I just got to say, I got halfway through the book, and then they sent me Kristen Chenoweth's book, and Kristen is on the show at 3 o'clock.
Oh, nice.
So you got bumped. Yeah.
Oh, then I'm not, you know, why don't we just get off the phone now so you can take her call?
I'm sorry. Pardon me. No, hold on. I've got so many positive things to say about your book. Just hear me out, okay?
Okay.
It'll come. It'll come eventually. But I want to know if the Hiltons have called, because I don't think I've ever heard their daughter called a celebutard before. Is that a popular name used?
Yeah, I didn't make that up. Somebody else had called her that.
Celebutard.
Yeah. I don't really know where it originated, but it seems to fit.
I like it. And Winston Churchill's granddaughter, she...
Edwina.
She wasn't angry at you?
Hasn't called.
No.
Wait till you finish the book. Oh. You won't believe how many people... I did not write the book to offend anybody.
No.
I just tell the truth in it. And how silly life is and how crazy life can be. And how if you don't know who you are in the Lord, you could pretty much, you know, end it all now and just put a gun to your head and end it. Because what's the point?
Yeah.
But in the Lord, we know who we are. We know there is a purpose to our life. We know there is some greater purpose than our own narcissistic insanity. And so you sort of just relax with it and go with it and almost celebrate it, because you can see that there is a purpose beyond your own little pathetic wisp of a life. God is using you for his purposes.
Well, I honestly, I know this sounds like an interview thing, a shtick. Mm-hmm. Someone might say, oh, I laughed all the way through. I laughed
half the way through your book.
Okay, good point. I laughed half the way through your book. Seriously, I was on the couch at home. The family had gone out, and I was hoping that no one was looking through the window because they would have thought I was just going loopy, especially the Family Feud chapter. I almost wet myself.
Well, that's my point. That's my hopes. You don't get through this book dry. I want you to cry. I want you to laugh, and I want you to wet your Spanx. I really do, because life is like that. And if we don't have a sense of humor about it, we are kind of doomed, don't you think?
Yeah, I think. And you really hold nothing back in this book. You talk about nose hairs and bunions, flop bags and cottage cheese, colonoscopies and incontinence, breastfeeding and menopause, feminine protection and gynecology, plastic surgery and unibrows, ginas and wing-wangs, and every social faux pas imaginable.
I know.
It's brilliant.
And that's in the first chapter. Honey, it's called life.
Oh.
It's called life, and if we can't laugh at it, we might as well just end it. I don't know. I'm rejoicing. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's have a good old laugh about it.
Oh, I like that interpretation.
Yeah.
There are some amazing stories about folks like Julie Andrews, Kevin Costner, Carol Burnett, Oliver Stone, Jacqueline Smith, and Al friggin' Pacino.
And Charles Manson.
Yes. Can we talk about that?
Hello.
Yes. Here. Okay, so if I got this right... There's an inside joke that you're like, you know, more connected to the human race than Kevin Bacon is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And some news report came up on the show that said, they might have found more bodies, or the Manson gang may have killed more people or whatever. And they all kind of looked at you and went, come on, you don't have a connection to this story, do you?
You certainly couldn't have any connection to the Charles Manson family. Come on. But I did.
You and Tex.
Tex Watson.
Oh, my goodness.
Years and years and years ago, my sister and I went out to the California Men's Penal Colony and in San Luis Obispo, California, and we were doing a television special with a wonderful man named Chaplain Ray, who had a wonderful prison ministry. This was a dear man who truly had a heart for prisoners. And he and Pat Boone were going to be doing this big television special, and would my sister and I do it? Long story short, we get there, and Tex Watson, who was the one man of the Tex Manson family, of the Charles Manson family, who actually did the murdering of all the people, seven people, I think. Wasn't it seven?
Yeah.
You lose track. It was so horrible.
Yeah.
And we show up, and he's our bodyguard. He's no Kevin Costner. He's our bodyguard. Long story short, we're singing the finale, we're on the stage, and all the power goes out.
In the prison?
In the prison. 2,400 maximum security prisoners. They are masturbating. They have half their clothing on. They're screaming helter skelter, sing helter skelter. And I am gripping on to Tex Watson's hand for dear life.
Never thought you'd get comfort from Tex Watson.
No. He's the only thing I wasn't afraid of that day. And we're singing, what a friend we have in Jesus, you know. And I'm talking to your best friend, Drew Marshall. Frank Gifford, please give us a moment. Frank just walked in.
Yeah, Frank's
he's not
who?
Thrilled I'm talking to you.
Who?
I know. Anyway.
He's always walking in on us.
He always walks in on us. I'm doing a live radio interview, Frank Gifford. Thank you very much. He says, hi, Drew. But I don't think he meant it.
No.
So anyway, the power comes back on. And by then, you're ready. It's 120 degrees in the whole place. Mm. Honey, you're throwing me off, all right? Trying to keep my mind straight with
what's
this story.
Is he unbuttoning
you got to read the book, all right? Frank ruined it. He just come in and ruined it. Sorry.
Sorry.
He's such a jerk.
What a guy.
What a guy. What did I see in him?
I don't know. Did he give me the Frank Gifford shrug? Did he do that?
He's not happy with you.
Oh, man.
The trouble is he forgets he met you and liked you.
Yeah.
You know, it's at this point, that's happened. I'm starting to think that too, Drew. But I'm bummed. Anyway, it's a bit an unusual life.
You've had a very unusual life. And speaking of Frank, you've always told me that he was the best mom in the world.
He is.
But you, my dear, are the one who actually said no to Julie Andrews in order to be a mom. No one says no to Julie Andrews.
I know, but I had to. My daughter was only 1 year old. And you know what? You've got kids. They're that age, it's so precious, and you only have it once. And if you don't enjoy it and you just don't appreciate it, it's gone and you never have it back. So, yeah, she wanted me to take over for her on Broadway one night a week when she was doing Victor Victoria, and I said no to Mary Poppins because my daughter would never be one again. And 7 years later, Carol Burnett asks me, and by that time, my daughter's 8 years old, and it's right. It's time to do it. It's just the people I truly respect the most have always said to me, you will never regret putting your family first. You will always regret when you don't, and it's true. I mean, now I have a 20-year-old almost and a 19-year-old and 16-year-old. Yeah. And I never did, thank God. But it's because people I respected said, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. It isn't worth it. Don't do it.
Wise words from Kathy Lee Gifford. And I guess thinking back from singing with your sister in Pennsylvania Next Right.
Yep.
And even further back to this time in your life, in my heart, I remembered my daddy tape recording me at the age of 5, singing a little song a cappella into this ancient, dilapidated tape recorder. Mary had a little lamb, suddenly I stopped and asked him, where's the music, daddy?
Yeah.
And to this day, I can hear his tender, loving voice. Oh, sweetheart, you've got to learn to make your own music. I am, daddy. I am.
That's it, though, Drew, you know. All those years I thought I was making my own music, but I didn't know. And then all of a sudden you start writing truly your own music, and you go, oh, my gosh, how could he have been so smart? How could he have known? How could he have known?
Hmm.
Yeah, everybody has to make their own music, Drew, don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
I really do. And life comes along and screws us up and gets us off a different path that we were initially intended to be on. And God is like this big GPS machine, you know, recalculating route, recalculating destination. We get off our intended route with him, and he's so patient with us and to bring us right back to where he initially had hoped that we would stay on our path. I don't know. I don't know how it all ends up because I'm frankly close but not there yet. But I do believe that his faithfulness is something we can count on. His unfailing love is something we can count on. His promises are real and sure, and we can count on it. And in this world we live in today, what else can we? I really don't know. There's so little that's guaranteed in this world.
Hmm.
God's faithfulness is guaranteed. I do believe that.
I keep thinking about the GPS illustration, and when my GPS reroutes me, I turn it off and turn it on again because I don't trust where the woman is going to send me.
Is it because it's a woman's voice?
No.
Ask your wife.
But what I'm trying to say is I do the same thing with God. I turn him off and then turn him on and try to get him to direct me the way I originally wanted to go. And I just have a hard time trusting and listening.
But why do we think we know better than he does?
Well, because I asked this question the other week. I said, I think I'm not in love with Jesus anymore.
Did you really say that?
Yeah, because I'm still pathetically trying to follow him, but I don't think I'm in love with him anymore. And I don't know whether it's because I'm a guy trying to love another invisible guy, which is just a bizarre phenomenon.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we just had a good old conversation about that with our listeners on the show, but anyway.
And you had my friend and Pastor Ian Cron on, right?
Yeah.
Who wrote the book Chasing Francis.
Great
about a man who melts down in his mega church, and only by going to Assisi and falling in love with the teachings of St. Francis does he fall in love again with God.
Hmm.
And every one of us goes through times like that. I think we just get caught up in all the bull. It's just bull. And we have to get back to the basics again and remember why, you know, we're fishermen by the sea, and all of a sudden Jesus walks up and he goes, follow me. And we drop everything for him and follow him. Why did we do that to begin with? Why did we do that?
Well, I did it because there was social pressure at a Christian camp, and it was Friday night, and I was emotionally exhausted, and I knew that if I bought into the program, I'd get free ice cream and hugs from girls.
Okay. Good reason.
No, not really, but it
was your reason.
Yeah, it led me down. I mean, it's like people saying, I bought into the Jesus stuff because I was scared of going to hell. Not the greatest reason, but at least you got to introduce
it's
to Jesus.
It's a reason.
It's a reason, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What disappoints you the most about it now?
Well, I just did I'm not sure, you probably wouldn't have heard of this, but for the last week of Lent, I went blind.
Yeah, no, Christine told me.
Okay, all right. So through that experience, I had sort of an awakening afterwards, and the problem I have is that my eyes have always screwed up my spiritual life, either through issues with trust or lust. And the trust thing has been a big deal in my life. And I don't trust people very well, and I certainly don't trust God very well. And the invisibility of God, Kathy, has always driven me nuts. Always, always, always. And I'm a nature guy. I mean, I get out on my horse, I'm gone for 3 hours in the bush. I get that the closest I feel to God is when I'm in his creation. But what about the rest of my life?
Going into church can ruin it, can it?
Well, thank you. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm as messy as Amy Semple McPherson. I'm certainly not as grand as she is as far as her depth and her effectiveness for the kingdom. But I'm just as messy as that woman is. So you understand the mess.
And you know what? I am too, Drew. And when I read Scripture, what I see is how much God, Jesus, the man, the God-man, loved messy people. He loves you as messy as you are. He loves me as messy as I am. And the biggest problem he had were with the religious people who thought that they had it all together. That's the only time in all of Scripture you saw Jesus get out the whip and say, you've made a mockery of my Father's house. He never said that to messy people. He said it to the people who thought they had it all together. So,
have you been reading something in the last 6 months that has kind of rocked your spiritual world?
It was about a year ago I read The Shack. You turned me on to The Shack. I loved it. You sent it to me, and I thought it was brilliant. I love that kind of messiness, that kind of looking out of the side of the box at something. I thought that was brilliant.
Paul's joining us again next Saturday.
Please tell him hello. And I went to school with the other writer, Wayne Jacobson.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we went to ORU together.
Oh, that's right.
And he's been on the Today Show a couple of times, and I've seen him there, yeah.
Well, Wayne has another brilliant read. It's the book that sort of inspired The Shack. It's called So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore.
Yep.
And I thought that was sort of a book for people who are ticked off at church, and here's some advice for everybody. But it's another novel. It's a fiction book, and boy, there's some great...
Really good stuff in it.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Really good stuff in it.
Did you read that, too?
I did.
Oh.
I read, yeah.
Okay.
No. I don't think we're so unusual, frankly. I read Scripture every day, and I long for the times when God would just talk to people.
Hmm.
Audibly. I like that.
Yeah.
I would love it to be so sure now. And yet, at that time, they didn't have his word. And we're supposed to get from his word the audible stuff. That's where he's supposed to be speaking audibly to us every day.
Well, in my final video that I did, we documented the blind week.
Thing.
And in the final video, it's called Reflections. And I walk up to the top of this hill where last year on Easter sunrise morning, I waited for the sunrise.
Right.
And I turned to look at the dark sky in the east, or sorry, in the west. Gotta get
yeah.
my, and then I turned back and the sun had already risen. I'd missed it.
Oh.
And here I am, going blind for a week. I put contact lenses on and searched in the dark again for the sun. I'm always seeming to be looking for the sun. And I don't know, there was just a revelation that last Easter I turned, after I missed the sun, I was so bugged, I sat down and started reading the Bible and I came across the verse that said, hey, you know what, how blessed are those that were able to hang out with Jesus and see Jesus, but how even more blessed are those who still believe and have not seen, yeah. And that verse kind of rocked my world a little.
So it really did change you.
Yeah.
You know, you're not any sweeter though.
Come on, please. You were the one who was disqualified in the Junior Miss pageant for speaking to a male.
A male? I was 17. Called a boy back then. Yes. Yeah, that's why we need Jesus. Hello.
That just came out of nowhere. Where is saving?
You know too much and you should be destroyed.
Yes. Well, that's true. Where is Saving Amy at these days?
On Monday. This coming Monday, we have probably the final reading I'm ever going to get in the Broadway community. Yep, it's big. It's D-Day. D-Day for me on Monday.
How do you feel about that?
I feel, when I let my humanity take over, I feel scared about it, and my heart pounds, and I get all hot and bothered. And then when I realize that it's in the scheme of God's creation, I'm a whisper and a wisp, Then I rest in it because I have no control over anything anyway, none. I've been writing it for 10 years and only God could write it because I wasn't qualified to, wasn't prepared to, didn't go to college, didn't get degrees in this. And yet for some reason, here 10 years later, after more than 100 rewrites of the script,
wow,
we have yet another reading of Saving Amy for all the theater owners and all the investors. And I rest in it. I go, you know what? Not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done. I've been faithful to the call, and now it's up to him.
Do you ever think that you'll take out that box of pancake mix your kids gave you
Never.
For your last
Ain't
day of
happen.
Life?
Got to hear the voice from the burning bush to do that.
I have lived a very weird life, and while I'm not ashamed of it, I am sometimes embarrassed by the painful publicness of it. I have traveled down strange paths and have made camp in lonely places. I've dined with the dying and have had cocktails with kings. I've seen injustice and I've seen miracles. Both have moved me to tears and to action. I have lived in the spotlight and under the microscope. And I have cried for days in the valley of despair and yet awakened on the mountaintop of a beautiful thing called mercy. Sound familiar? It's called life. I'm sure you can relate to a lot of it. So I've written this book in a style that is representative of my journey. It meanders, it pauses, it turns corners, and it surprises. And one day, it will end. I talk this way on television, and I talk this way at home. I'm slapstick silly one moment and drop dead serious the next. I find the humor in tragedy and the underlying sadness in laughter. And in all of it, I find a glimmer of hope. This is an absolutely pleasurable book to read. It is quite a good read, Kathleen. I'm very serious. And it's perfect for my ADD brain because it's got the little chapters and then a little longer one, then another little short one. And it's just kind of, it's all over the place.
It's like life.
It is. It's just like life.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Drew. Thank you.
I love you.
I love you too. I love you too. I respect you and I thank the Lord for you because you're an honest voice out there amongst the noise. You're an honest voice. And when you're hurting and when you can't make sense of something, you're honest about it. And I think of all things, God really honors an honest heart. He's big enough for our questions. He's big enough for our disappointments. He's big enough when we just stop for a while and say, you know what? I'm going to go blind for a while because this doesn't make sense.
That's pretty much it.
yeah. Welcome to the journey, right?
Yeah, that's it.
I love you, Drew Marshall.
Thank you, Kathy Lee.
Happy Mother's Day to everybody.
Yes, and a great gift for all the moms right here, this tremendous book. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Take care. I love you, my friend.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Kathy Lee Gifford on the Drew Marshall Show. What a good woman. Great heart. All right, a short break, and we'll come back, and we'll take your calls on another subject. We're going to find out if the Jesus people really care about the environment or not. Stay with us.
Blah, blah, blah. It's all about what Drew thinks. Let's hear from you. Call now at 905-338-1250.